So, the goal of the next two lectures is to provide further optimality conditions for constrained optimization, and specifically optimality conditions when we have an explicit description of the feasible region through a constraining function. Okay? So, once again, we focus on the problem of minimizing a function f over a region of this space capital F. So f goes from Rn to R, x, capital X, is a subset of Rn, and up to now we prove this kind of optimality condition, of necessary optimality condition, that is that the scalar product between the gradient of f at the local optimum point x bar with the direction t which belongs to the tangent chord of capital X at the local optimum x star is greater than zero. Okay? We prove this in general, and then we show that this optimality condition, okay, can be written in a more handy form, I mean, ultra-stabilized, okay, when capital X is a convex set, okay? Because in that case, we know somehow that these directions have this form where X is a vector in capital X. Okay? But even in this case, these optimality conditions are not really very handy. And indeed, we needed some machinery to exploit these optimality conditions within algorithmic framework. Okay? We had to prove theorems in which stating that the things we were doing algorithmically were leading to a point with some properties, and these properties were related to these optimality conditions. Okay? The fact is that here capital X is just a set. You don't have additional information on the set. Okay? But generally, when you have an application of optimization, the feasible region is generally given through an explicit description. Okay? Well, generally, is the set of points in Rn such that some algebraic conditions are satisfied. And you can generally write them through inequalities and equalities. I mean that the feasible region is described by those points for which some function gi of x is less or equal than zero, and some function hj of x are equal to zero. I mean, we have, let's say, m functions gi, p functions hi, and the feasible region is described as given by those points for which, at which the gi's are negative, are less or equal than zero, and the hj's are zero. Okay? The goal of this lecture is to exploit this function which provide a description of the feasible region within optimality conditions. Okay? This is a poor geometrical condition. I forget to recall you the definition of the tangent plot, which is essential, a geometric description. Here it is. We have a sequence of points which approach x bar within the feasible region, and the tangent cone is somehow, let's say, roughly speaking, the tangents of these trajectories at the given point. Okay. Now we would like to turn this optimality condition into something which exploits algebraic expressions. Okay. And this indeed is a tough job. Okay? It requires some efforts. So the goal of the lecture is to show you this, to show how to do it. Okay? I will focus on the ideas and on the procedure that leads to the new optimality condition rather than on their proofs. Well, we have seen that convexity has played a meaningful role to exploit this form of optimality condition. Well, we have conditions on these functions which guarantee convexity. I mean, if the GI are convex functions, and the hj are affine functions. Affine means that the function has this form, aj transpose x minus bj for some vector aj and some number bj. I mean, a linear relationship between the variables in a constant term. Okay. If the GIs are convex and the HJs are affine, then the region they describe in this way is convex. Okay. Convexity of inequality constraints, and let's say linearity, okay, up to a constant term of equality constraints guarantee the convexity of the set. Okay? Well, the proof is just an application of the definition of convexity. Okay? You check the convexity of capital X through the definition, exploiting the convexity of functions GIs and the fact that the HJs are done this way. It's simple computation. Just I start from this definition, then I make a step applying the definition here, and then check that the convex combination of 2 points, the segment between 2 points in the set, is indeed satisfying these inequalities and inequalities as well. Okay? You find it on the notes. It's an exercise on the definition of convexity. Nothing more than that. Well, we will not assume convexity for the time being. And to make things simpler, I will just consider the case in which capital X is described only by inequality constraints. Okay, so for the moment, let's say for today, we consider just the case in which we have inequality constraints. We will come to equality constraints later on. Let's say on Tuesday.
Okay?
So somehow my goal is to replace this with something which takes into account this fact.
I want to give you an example.
Which will give us
somehow the direction
which
shows us the goal. Okay? So,
simple example, we have two variables and three constraints in equality principle. The function, the objective function is linear, is x1 plus x2. Okay? And the three functions are the following. Function g1 is x1 squared plus x2 squared minus 1. g2 is simply minus x1. And g3 is simply x2. Okay? Let's see what the physical region is. Capital F is the set of points in which this function are less or equal than 0. Okay? So, which is the set of points in which this quantity is negative? x1 squared plus x2 squared less or equal than 1. Okay, is the circle, is the unit circle. So, the first constraint is telling us that we must be inside the unit circle. Okay? I'm not a great drawer. Okay? So, we must be here. Second constraint is telling that minus x1 has to be less or equal than 0, is saying that x1 has to be greater or equal than 0. So we must be in the circle and in this half plane. Okay? Third constraint is telling you that x2 has to be less or equal than 0, so we must be also in this half plane. The intersection of the circle and the two half planes gives the physical region. Here it is, x. Okay, I will give it. This is capital X. Now, okay, let's give an idea of the problem. We want to minimize this linear function over this area. Okay? Well, we know that the level curves of this function, I mean the points at which this takes a given value, are lines. Okay? And are exactly these kind of lines. Okay? x1 plus x2 equal k for somebody k, okay? And as k grows, the lines move that way, okay? This is for k equal 0, this is for k equal 1, and so on, okay? Well, these are the lines at which the objective function takes exactly the same value, okay? And graphically, you, like you were doing in linear programming, you will learn that you understand that the minimum value is here, okay? The minimum value over the feasible region is achieved here, okay? Because the values grow as long as the line moves this way. So, let's say our candidate point is 0 minus 1.
Okay? Well, indeed.
Oh, let's compute the gradient. Let's check the old optimality condition. What is the gradient of f at a given point? Derivative with respect to x1 is 1, derivative with respect to x2 is 1. Okay? The gradient of f at any point is the vector 1, 1. Okay? So it's the vector 1, 1. Okay? And what is the tangent cone of capital X at this point? We have done this when we were discussing tangent cones. You're moving up in this region and taking all the tangents. So the tangent cone is this set. I mean, this is in green is the tangent cone of X, capital X at X bar. Okay? See, if you take any vector with a tangent cone and d here, the scalar product is greater or equal than zero with the gradient, because take the line which is orthogonal to the gradient, all vectors in this half space have a positive scalar product with the gradient. Okay? So indeed the tangent cone is contained in this half space. We discussed this a couple of months ago. So, indeed, this satisfies the necessary optimality condition, then the feasible region is convex, the objective function is linear, so a particular case of convex function, so necessary optimality condition is also sufficient, and so this is indeed a minimum point. Okay. And I don't even need to say local, because we are in a convex situation. Okay? Well, this was the way we were dealing with optimality condition in a geometric fashion. Okay? The half space in which vectors have non-negative scalar product with the gradient and the tangent cone must be connected this, this way. The tangent cone must be contained in this half space. Half space. Okay? Well, we want something geometrical. We have something geometrical, we want something algebraic. So we want to exploit these constraining functions, g1, g2, and g3. Well, let's compute the gradients of this function at a given point. First of all, notice. What is the value of g at these three points? Of gi at our optimal point. So, point is 0 minus 1. This is 0. This is x minus x1. This is 0. And this is minus 1. This is negative. Okay. Indeed, the boundaries of the three constraints are this one, g1. Okay. This is where g1 is equal to 0. This is where g2 is equal to 0. g2 equal to 0 means that x1 has to be 0. And this is where g3 has to be 0. Okay? That describes the boundary of capital X. Well, these two constraints are binding. Okay? I mean, capital X, X bar is on the boundary of this constraint. When it is not on the boundary of of this one. Okay? And this is given by this fact. Here is zero and here is negative. So it's telling you that these are the so-called active constraints in X power. What is the main difference between an active and a non-active constraint?
Well,
if we are here and we look in a neighborhood of this point, really, the fact that we have also have this constraint here is not relevant. Okay? You could have this constraint or you could not have this constraint. The behavior of the function around the point in the feasible region wouldn't change. Okay? Because this constraint does not affect the feasible region in a neighborhood of this point. Okay? It is as if it were not there. Zero here, yeah, the relevant constraints would have been the second and the third, and not the first one. Yeah. Okay. Clearly, they depend on the point you are considering. Okay. But the point is that in a neighborhood of the point, you can act as if this does not exist. So let's compute the gradients of the other two functions at the given point. Oh, the gradient of g2 is easy because this is minus x1, so this is minus 1, 0. Okay? When you take the derivative with respect to x2, you have 0, the derivative with respect to x1, you have minus 1. And here, well, the derivatives are with respect to x1 is 2x1, with respect to x2 is 2 times x2. Okay? Now you compute it in the point and you get 0 minus 2. So somehow let's compare these three vectors. We have the gradient of the objective function, which is this one. We have the gradient of the first constraining function, which is this one. And we have the gradient of the second constraining function, which is this one. Sorry, this is g1 and this is g2. Correct? Okay. Well, there is a relationship between these three vectors. Change the sign of the gradient of f. Okay. The gradient of f minus the gradient of f is in the cone generated by the two vectors, gradients of g1 and gradient of g2. Okay. If you multiply them by some non-negative numbers and then you sum them up, if the number are chosen properly, you can get this vector. Indeed, if you take, let me see. One half the gradient of g1 plus the gradient of g2, you get minus the gradient of f. Or if we want to write it in a yet different way, we can say that the gradient of x plus 1 half times the gradient of g1 plus the gradient of g2 is the zero vector. Okay? This is the sort of result I want to prove in general. Okay? My goal is to show you that this kind of condition is satisfied at every local minimum point. Okay? Minus the gradient of the objective function must be a linear combination of the gradient of the constraining function with non-negative weights. Okay? These are, and here the weight is 1. Okay? I want you to show you this. I want to move from this type of condition to this type of condition. Okay? So, I spend a huge amount of time on the example, but I hope it meets our goal here. Well, what's the idea to get this work? Well, the idea is the following. Well, I want to link the tangent cone with the functions. Okay? The tangent cone somehow is given by the tangents of all the points inside the feasible regions which pass through the given point. Okay? Well, the idea is, let's try geometrically, let's try algebraically to linearize these constraints. Okay? To substitute them with linear expressions which approximate them. How do you do that? With Taylor formula. So we have a constraint, something. You see, you have to have this kind of feasibility. Okay? This kind of feasibility, let's say we consider a generic point done this way, means that we want gi at this point to be less or equal to zero. Okay? But then we can write that this is, by Taylor's formula, this is gi at x, plus t times the gradient of gi at x times b plus some residual. Okay? And if t is very small, these are approximately the same thing. Okay? This is by Taylor's formula. The residual, il resto. Okay? If you have the residual here, this is equal. If you forget about the residual and this is small, these are almost the same. Okay? Because we know that the residual goes to zero faster than this term. Well, consider the relevant constraint at a given point. I mean, consider the constraint such that they are satisfied by x as an equality. Okay? This is the index set of active constraints.
We just discussed that constraints which are not active do not matter, okay? Are not relevant.
Because we are in the neighborhood of the point, so we are just concerned with things that happen here nearby. And if you remember our discussion about tangent cones, we said that doing the tangent cone of the full set of the whole region, or the region intersecting the ball at the considered point, provides the same information, because we are taking the tangents of this curve, and the tangents are here. What happens here is not relevant. Okay, so active constraints are those constraints which matter. If a constraint is active, this quantity is zero. Okay? So if we replace this, which is our actual requirement, by this, this reads this quantity is less or equal than zero. Okay? Then we consider positive t, so this is zero, and this is negative, if and only if this is negative. Okay? And this leads to the following definition. So we consider the active constraint at a given point, and then we define this linearizing set, which provides a linearization of capital X at X. One is identified by less, and the other is identified by less or equal. And there are those directions B, such that this condition up there is satisfied. In the first case, we strict inequality, less than zero. And in the other case, with less or equal, okay. So these are two sets which linearize, which provide a linearization of capital X around X. Okay? You somehow replace, you forget about constraints which are not active, because they don't matter. And then you replace the function around the point with its Taylor's formula. Okay? And you want it to be satisfied. And you arrive to this set, and the meaningful result is the following. These two sets somehow provide a cage to the tangent cone, because the first one is contained in the tangent cone, which is contained in the second one. Okay. Proof. I'm not doing the proof, so you can check on the notes. What is the tool in the proof? The tool in the proof is once again Taylor's formula. Okay? You take a point here, so you have this property, you apply Taylor's formula, and you show that the direction D in this set satisfies also this condition. Okay? For any sequence you choose. Any sequence you choose. And then, vice versa, you take a point in the tangent cone and you show, exploiting this property, that this is satisfied. Okay? Everything is done via Taylor's formula.
But now,
what I want to show you is that we have some algebraic approximate representation of this set, okay? Because we know a subset algebraically, because we have formulas, and we know a superset because we have formulas, okay? So it's within this within these two sets. Let's go back to the example, okay? Let's go back to the example. So, the tangent code is zero. Okay? We've seen it geometrically. Let's consider the less linear, the L less linearization. So, active constraints are these two. We want the point, so L minus, L less is the set of direction linear 2 such that scalar product with this is minus 2d2. Okay? You take this and you do the scalar product with of this way. Okay, you write it this way. And you do the scalar product with vector b, whose components are d1 and d2, and you get minus 2 times d2. And in the same way here, you get minus d1 less than 0. Which set is this? Well, clearly this is the set of D in R2 such D1 is greater than 0 and D2 is greater than 0. Okay? So, it's exactly this set. The order without the order. Okay? Well, we don't need to do more computation. If we do less or equal, linearization is less or equal, what do we get? Here we have less or equal. Okay, so here we have greater or equal. Is what? Vector D in R2 such D1 is greater or equal than 0 and D2 is greater or equal than 0. That means the order. One, two. So, in this case, it is equal also to the tangent. Okay? This is containing, this is the tangent code. This set, this linearization set, is contained in the tangent cone, which is contained in this other linearization set. And in this case, they happen to be equal. Okay? Is it always true? Oh, the answer is no. It may happen, but it may also be that this tangent cone is a proper subset. And I'll show you an example. What can never happen is that these two are the same. Why is this impossible? Well, the tangent cone is a closed set. Okay? While this set, since here we have less, is an open set.
Because if you have a vector B which satisfies all these inequalities, all the points in the ball centered in D satisfy this inequality, because the scalar product is continuous. Okay? So this is an open set. This is open. It's an open set. This is a closed set. The tangent code is a closed set, so if L minus L less is equal to the tangent code, it means that they are both open and closed at the same time. Okay? Beyond the empty set, the unique set which is both closed and open is a full space. Okay? And this can be the full space if these inequalities are satisfied by the full space, but each of these inequalities gives a half space. Okay? So the only possibility is that there is no active constraint, so that this condition is empty. So this and this are, we could also say, these are different. Okay? Well, here they can be different or equal. In our example, they are equal. Now I'm providing you, so this example is over. I provide you another example. In which the two are not equal. And that is some source of trouble for us, and we will see the trouble after a small break. The example is the following in R2, capital F is the set of points in R2 such that x1 squared minus x2 squared is less or equal than 0. Okay? Think a little bit at home about this set. I just show you. This set is this cone. Okay, x is this cone. Why? Just remember that this is nothing but x1 minus x2 times x1 plus x2. Okay? And these are these two lines. Okay? So, if this is negative, this has to be negative, if this is positive, this has to be positive, and gives you that score. Okay? Let's take 0, 0. Let's take 0, 0. Well, I claim that the tangent cone of the set is the set itself. Indeed, the set is a linear cone. Okay? How can you approach, think about it dramatically, how can you approach zero? You can approach zero along curves which are inside the region, so they are bounded by these lines. Okay? And their tangents are bounded by these lines. Okay? When you try to make a cone out of a linear cone, you get the cone itself. Okay? You can also check it algebraically through the definition, but it's boring. Okay? Since this is the structure of this non-convex set is linear, okay, when you make the tangent cone, you are doing the linear. And now let's try to linearize. Okay? Well, So here we have just a unique function, okay? This is g of x1, x2. When we take the gradient, what do you get? Well, 2 times x1 minus 2 times x2. Okay? Computed in 0, 0, what you get is the 0 vector. Okay? Now, go here. Where is it? The definition. Indeed, in 0, 0, this constraint is active because this takes value 0. And so, when you make linearization, what do you get? You get the whole space, because here you are asking that this is 0. This is 0, whatever d you choose, because this vector is 0. Okay. So, the linearizing cone is the whole space. So, indeed, it is different from the tangent cone. It is larger. So the point is now, is it clear? The point is that we managed to somehow have some approximate representation of the tangent cone, because we have a subset and we have a superset. Okay? But we don't have an exact representation of the tangent cone, because this inclusion is always proper. They are never equal, unless a stupid case. And this may be equal or maybe not. Okay. But really, to achieve necessary optimality condition, this is enough. Okay? This is enough, almost enough. So we take a small break, and then I'll show you how to exploit this these inclusions.